I was sitting here at 6 o'clock, and I was all by myself, and I thought I'd finally scared everybody off. But anyway, to start off with, all of you all know that I bought a piece of property here a while back, and there was an old barn and a bunch of other stuff on it. And in that barn, I found this book, Men of the Bible, by D.L. Moody. I thought, this might be interesting. And there are several men here, and I got to looking at it today, and it's the copyright is 1898. So I'm sure this book isn't that old, but the copyright is. Anyway, I got to looking through it, and I decided that I would talk about Naaman. And so I read what he had to say about it. And then I got this book by J. Vernon McGee, and his copy written in 1982, so just a few years later. But anyway, I read both of them, and, you know, they're surprisingly very close to the same in their commentaries. It's kind of interesting. This was a sermon. But anyway, we'll start out by reading about him at 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'll just read through the biggest part of what I'm going to talk about, and then I'll ramble on for a few minutes. Starting with verse 1 in chapter 5 in 2 Kings. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel, that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. That sounds like a pretty good chunk of change. Anyway, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him from his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not
the two rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Now Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Okay, now that's as far as I'm going to read. I want to ask one question. I had a problem with this last verse where he said, I pray thee be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth. I couldn't understand what that meant. Since then I looked it up in my Schofield and I kind of think I know. But does anybody here have an idea what that means right now without looking it up? Okay, so he was putting the dirt on the mules and he was going to take it with him?
Take it home.
Okay, and then he was going
to make pile in his, maybe inside his home.
Yeah, wherever. Okay.
And that's where he would go to worship.
Okay, that's what I got. I went and looked it up in my Schofield and it had a cross reference to Exodus where they had used dirt for to do a sacrifice. So, but I couldn't for the life of me figure out what that was. Anyway, so we'll go back to the beginning, and I've got some notes here, and I'll try to talk about it. And if anybody wants to say anything, just jump in. So, number one, I'm going from Mr. Moody's notes here somewhat. Number one, there was no physician in Syria that Naaman could go to and be cured of his leprosy. Naaman was a great general, very honored by the king of Syria, and he was used of the Lord. Verse 1 says he was used of the Lord, but he was a leper. And leprosy in the Bible is talked about as a type of a sin. Not that you, if you have leprosy, you're a sinner, but it is kind of an analogy to sin. Only God can cure leprosy, and only God can cure sin. Naaman was a fine man in many ways, but he was a leper, and he was a sinner. Okay. One note that Dr. McGee made in his commentary, he noted that in Syria, lepers were not excluded from society like they were in Israel, and he said most of the pagan countries they didn't realize that leprosy was a disease that you could catch from one another. Only the Israelites knew that because of God. And it shows you just by saying that he was still in the king's court, and he said in one point the king would lean on him. So, I mean, you know, that was kind of interesting, I thought. But both Dr. McGee and Dr. Moody mentioned that he tried to cover his leprosy. And I don't know where they got that from, but since they're much more of a Bible scholar than I am, I'll just go along with it. He said he tried to cover his leprosy like many people try to cover their sin these days. And, you know, you can think of many ways that people do that. And there's an analogy to the leprosy and to the sin all through this story. The next point was, we got to the little girl that waited on Naaman's wife and how God honored her faith. She was just a little girl that did whatever they do, you know, in the home at that time. And she had faith that God could heal Naaman. So, she had that faith, but she must have been believable. I mean, because a king and a general and several other people put enough stock in what she said to go across the country and do what she suggested. So she must have been an exemplary young lady, somebody that could be trusted, somebody that would, you know, her life was a little bit different than everybody else's. So Naaman headed to Samaria with gold and with silver, with fine clothes, and a letter from the king. Dr. Moody pointed out that he was trying to pay for his cure. And when he got to Israel, when he got to Samaria, he didn't get quite he wasn't accepted like he thought he would. I mean, I'm a general, I'm from Syria, I've got the king's letter and everything, and he figured that people would say, he's somebody and all this, and roll out the red carpet for him. But he got to Samaria, and he scared the life out of the king of Israel. He said he knew he couldn't help him, but evidently the king, who was the king at that time? Anybody know who the king was at that time? Anyway, I mean, Syria had already been coming into Israel because obviously they had stolen this little girl and taken some areas of the northern kingdom. But evidently this king didn't know who could help him either. So he tore his clothes and was all upset. Instead of rolling out the red carpet for Naaman and giving him a reception he thought he should get, he was kind of upset. One thing that Moody pointed out, he said that Naaman was very earnest. He said he was willing to take the word of a small girl to travel 150 miles to see someone that she said could serve him, could cure him. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. But anyway, when Naaman, I can't read my own writing. It said when Naaman got there, he was willing to take her advice, but he wasn't really willing to take the remedy that was offered. When he got there, he got a reception that he wasn't expecting, and then in all of that, Elisha told the king when he heard that the king was tearing his clothes and everything, rending his clothes and upset. He told him, he says, bid him to come to me that he may know that there's a prophet in Israel. He says, come on over. And he says, I can do something for him. Or I can't. God can do something for him. But tell him to come to me and then he'll know that there is a prophet in Israel. So he came to him and I guess he was expecting something. When we know he's expecting something, you know, more than what he got. When he got to Elisha's house and pulled up in his front door with his chariots and everything, Elisha didn't even go to meet him. He just sent the servant out and told him to go and wash 7 times in the River Jordan. Of course, we know that made him mad. He was expecting something more than what he got. It was a very simple thing. But many times people expect, you know, when it comes to salvation, they expect something. I mean, it is something exceptional, but anyway, they expect something to be hard or very. They have to do a whole lot to get their salvation, and when really it's very simple. All you have to do is come to the Lord. Anyway, he was upset, so he was getting ready to leave. Naaman was insulted. He was going to leave when one of his servants talked him into doing what Elisha said. He said, you know, this is crazy. He says, why are you going back? Well, just as we read. This, according to Moody, was a starting point for Naaman's faith. So he did. He turned around and he thought, well, I don't think this is very smart for me to go and dip in this old dirty, muddy river. But since I'm here, you know, we're kind of paraphrasing, he said he'd do it. So he went to the Jordan and obeyed, and he was healed. Salvation is so simple. You only need to believe, humble yourself, and obey. I mean, it's just that simple. But people try to make it be a whole lot more. Okay, after he realized he was healed, he wanted to go back and he wanted to pay. He wanted to pay for his healing, like many people want to pay or work to get their salvation. I mean, he already had it, obviously, but there is kind of an analogy. Moody says it would have spoiled the story of grace if the prophet had taken some money. McGee says, Elisha will not accept a gift for what God has done. And I got a note here that God's gift is free to all of us. But, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting. I was talking with Sandy, and she says, is there any place in the Bible where when God healed somebody through Christ or God healed them through one of the prophets or anywhere, is there anywhere that anybody ever took any money for it? I don't think there is anywhere. But still we have faith healers that this day that get very, very wealthy over it. Okay. Moody made another point. His outline said, I know. And he said, in verse 15, he said, Naaman was sure. He said, Naaman said, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And, you know, it's obvious that Naaman went back a changed man, not only in his physical, but in his spiritual being. So, anyway, that's all that I have. Is there any comment or anything?
Mm-hmm. Taken away from her family. This is the guy that did it, and yet she wanted his best. She was looking out for his interests and invited him to come back and talk to the man of God that she had heard about. That takes forgiveness, I think, and seeing beyond just her own circumstances to wish him well after what happened to him.
Let me read what Dr. McGee had to say about the little girl. This is one of the unknown, unnamed characters in the Bible. She was a young maid, a little Hebrew girl, and a great person. To me, she is as great as Queen Esther, Ruth, the Moabite girl, Bathsheba, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. This little maid waited on Naaman's wife. But I mean, that's... Any other comments? Okay, that's all I have. Al, would you close us in prayer, please?